Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. What an amazing Father you are. Thank you, Jesus, for another day, October the 6th, 2021. We are yet alive. We are still following after you, running hard after you like a deer when it's thirsty. So I say welcome and good afternoon to Wednesday midweek Bible study. We're grateful you joined us. We are thanking the Most High God for his love, for his mercy, for his kindness. Oh, my God, for the great favor he has upon each one of us. So we thank the Lord for all that he's done, all that he's about to do. What a great Father he is. He loves his children. I thank God that he don't ever leave us. He don't ever forsake us. He's always present for us. That kind of love, that's the kind of love we need, that everlasting love. You know, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, he's there for us. He's an amazing friend. No friend is great like our God. No friend is great like our God. And the Word of God says in 2 Chronicles 7, we're going to start at 13, it says, "And if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place." So, Father, we come to say thank you for your gracious mercy, your love, your kindness, your everlasting love. We thank you, Lord God, that we can abide under your shadow, Almighty. And we say of you, Lord, truly, you are our refuge and our fortress. Truly, you are a mighty God. And, Lord, we don't know the errors that we've committed against you. We don't know what we've done against you. Presumptuous sins, we ask forgiveness. Every error, forgive us, Lord God. Oh, forgive us for not being sensitive enough to your Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, for sins of omission, sins of commission. And we come before you this day, and we say thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing, everything you're about to do. We give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving, because you are doing great and mighty things in the earth realm. You, Lord God, know each one of us. You're doing things not just as a group, but individually, for each one of your children. You're an amazing God. You created millions and billions of people. You know all of our fingerprints, our footprints. There's nothing you don't know about us. And so we're thanking you today for the love that you have for us. And we know you chastise us, but it's for a reason, to keep us on the path like a father or a mother that chastised their child. So the child won't go the wrong way and say, uh-uh, baby, don't touch that stove, because you don't want them to get burned. So you may spank that little hand or spank that little leg. And so, God, I thank you that you are the greatest father. We know our birth fathers, you know, but you are the greatest father we could ever have. So we appreciate you, Lord God. We just come to bless you. We come to honor you. We come to say thank you for being so amazing. Thank you for your precious love. Thank you for forgiving us every time we sinned against you. So, Father, we thank you for ordering our steps.
Yeah.
seeking the Lord every day. Order our steps in his word. You know we need the word like never before. I'm telling you, the word is what keeps us alive. The word is full of knowledge, wisdom, understanding of God. The word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. We need the word. We need the word in us, around us. We need the word. So I thank God for the word that he gets inside of us. You know, that word that penetrates our soul, that does something amazing for us. We need the word. If we don't need nothing else, we need the word of God. It will sustain us. The word of God is what we need, not just for today, but every day. Yep, just like we need food and water and air every day. Yep, we need the word every day. So I thank God for each of you today. Thank God for you all being on. Oh, God is amazing. You know that God that we serve, that same God, yeah, that was during the time of Moses, he's still alive. He ain't dead. No, Pharaoh didn't want to acknowledge him, but we acknowledge him as Lord. We acknowledge him as Savior. We acknowledge him as King. He's an amazing Father. He's an awesome friend. He knows your name. He's over there with you. So I thank God for you all today. Thank God for you all being on. You know, God, he knows where you are in your life. He is not going to leave you. I know you think you all alone. Can you imagine when Joseph was in the pit? Yeah, he was in that pit. But guess what? He thought he was alone, but God was right there with him. God was right in that pit with him. So when you're in a pit, whether it's what kind of pit it is, God's right there with you. He ain't going to leave you. Mm-mm. He is not a man that he should lie. He is the truth. He tells the truth. He is the truth. So I thank God for each of you all. We have Sister Lanny on with us from Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, to be exact. She's going to sing and play a song of praise today. We thank God for her. Thank God for each of you. So, Sister Lanny, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Doing
Amen.
Great.
Lord, you have a building. mansions in the sky. Oh, Lord, a building not made by man's hand. Nobody can keep me like you, Lord. And amen.
Amen. Woo, that was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank God for that awesome, beautiful song, Glenn.
Yeah.
A building not made with hands. Yeah. Only God can have a building not made with hands. I thank God for each of you all today. I'm going to ask Sister Mary. Let me see, Sister Mary. She is from Oklahoma. I'm going to ask her if she'll say a prayer for families today and for every nation, every family in every nation. Salvation, healing, and deliverance. Thank you, Sister Mary. Sister Mary, are you there?
Sorry.
Okay.
I was on mute. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. Thank you for another opportunity to praise you, to call on your name, to be in your presence, Lord. Thank you. Thank you every day for every breath, because it only comes from you. Lord, we want to remember the family that you have created, that you have designed for our good, for our, sometimes for our teaching and our learning. So we just thank you, Lord, because you are so perfect. And Lord, I just want to pray for the family that there will be a leader in the family who would point the rest of the family to you, to your will, to represent you, your will, and that the children would learn to be guided and loved, most of all saved by you. There is such a coming against family that you have designed. It's just another attempt for man to come against you. So, Lord, I just ask for your continual love and support for family around the world. And Lord, we just bind the work of the enemy in always trying to destroy the family, hinder the family, confuse the family. Lord, we just ask for your strength, your wisdom, your blessing on family. And we thank you, Lord, for this program where we can learn your way of the family. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. I thank God for each of you all coming on this afternoon. God is so good. Thank you for that powerful prayer. Sister Mary Nichols from Oklahoma, we appreciate you. God hears our prayers even before we pray. So I hope you got your Bibles ready. We're ready to do scripture search. Scripture search. All right, get your Bibles ready. See. You know how we do it. We say the name and read the scriptures. Get your Bibles ready. State your name. Read the is found in Acts 19:11. Acts 19:11. So the first person that finds it, it could be three or four, find, read it the same if you like. Acts 19:11. Ready, set, go.
Sister Vivian.
19. Go ahead.
Acts 19:11 reads as thus, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul.
Amen. Thank you so much. All right. Let's keep it moving, y'all. The next scripture, Titus 2:1. Titus 2:1. What does that scripture say? Titus 2:1. Come on, y'all, move those fingers in the Bible. Look up those scriptures. Brother, don't be lazy fingers.
Go Brother ahead. Brian, in Titus 2:1 reads, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian. All right, who's next? The next scripture, Psalms 94:1. Psalms 94:1. First one, state your name and
read, please.
Keep it moving. Ready, set, go. Psalms 94:1.
O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth. To show thyself.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Mary. Okay, next scripture, Joshua 23:8. Joshua 23:8. Let it go. Take your name after you find it and read it. Joshua 23:8.
Sister Vivian, and it reads as thus. But cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done unto this day.
Amen. Thank you for giving. Right. The next scripture, Psalms 119:125. Psalms 119:125 is the verse. Find it, state your name, and read it. Psalms 119:125.
Sister Marion. Psalms 119:124. Deal with thy servant 25. According unto thy mercy. You said 125?
Yeah.
125? I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimony.
All
right. Psalms 119:125.
Thank you. All right, you guys did an amazing job. Thank God for you all today. Now we're going to do Bible subtraction. We're going to subtract the wrong answer and replace it with the correct word, Bible subtraction. So this is found in Matthew 5:6. Matthew 5:6. Those of you who are sitting waiting for other people to find it, please find it. Matthew 5:6. So you got to listen, pay attention to the scripture. Matthew 5:6 says, cursed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be fed. Take your name. Tell me what I said wrong and read it right.
Just a
baby again.
Go ahead.
Okay, you said the word curse instead of blessed. Matthew 5:6 reads, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you, Brother Brian. We're moving right along. We're doing subtraction, Bible subtraction. What word am I going to read wrong? The scripture is 1 Kings 4:29. And God gave Samson wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart even as the sand that is in the on the seashore. What word did I say incorrect? First Kings 4:29. And God gave Samson wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and large of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. What word did I say wrong? And read it correctly.
This is Kalana. You said the word Samson wrong. It's Solomon. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore.
Good job. Y'all doing good. I'm so proud of y'all. All right. Psalms 102, verse 1, Bible subtraction. What's the incorrect word? All right. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let me sing. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let me sing. Psalms 102, verse 1.
Sister Marion.
Go ahead.
You said sing. It says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto you.
Amen. All right. You cry. Good job. Next one, we got two more. Luke 22:46. I love the way you guys are searching through the scriptures. Awesome. Luke 22:46. And they said unto them, why sleep ye? Run and pray, lest ye enter into temptation.
Sister Vivian, and it reads as thus. And he said unto them, why sleep you? Rise and pray, and let you enter into temptation.
All right, what word did I say incorrect?
Sleep. Right there where it said rise, you said something else instead of rise.
I know. What word? You got to give me the word that I said incorrect. Help her out, y'all. What word
sleep.
Did I say incorrect?
Sleep, I think you said. I know you. It was there.
Nope.
Sleep and pray.
What word did I say? No. What word did I say incorrect, y'all? Everybody here?
What is the scripture, please?
That's what I just had to read the scripture. You had to say it again.
All right. This is the word I said incorrect. I'm listening. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Run and play.
Yeah.
And pray.
It's rise.
Run.
Yeah. The incorrect word was run.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Mary. All right, so here we go. That last scripture. Revelation 21:1, and it says, and I saw a new house and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. What word did I say incorrect?
Mr. Vivian. You said house, and it's supposed to be heaven. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth will pass away.
Excellent. Oh, my God. Y'all did awesome. Look here. Y'all not allowed to sleep on the line. Y'all better wake up. Everybody better. It's wake-up time right now because we're getting ready to do homework. Homework. We got Brother Brian coming first. We're in Exodus chapter 9. Right now, we're going to be going into Exodus chapter 10 in a minute. But right now, we got Brother Brian. He's doing summarizing. Don't want you to read it. I want you to tell me what it's about. Exodus 9:1-7. I sent several of you texts with Brother Brian on his live broadcast. He does a podcast. So Brother Brian, we want to congratulate you. You're doing a great job on that podcast. I really, really love the word God has given you to bring to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sister G. I appreciate it. Good afternoon, everyone. So today I'm going to be doing Exodus chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And basically in this story, Moses is going to Pharaoh again because the Lord is sending him there to tell him that this time to let his people go and to serve him. And if Pharaoh doesn't let him go, then God is going to take out all of the camels and oxen and cattle that's in Egypt. But he's going to leave the ones of his people, the people that love him and serve him, alone. And so, of course, Pharaoh refuses once again. Pharaoh isn't going to let God's people go. And then at the end of verse 7, Pharaoh had woke up and found that not one of the cattle of the Israelites were gone, while all of the cattle and horses and things and camels and all of those other animals were taken out in the land of Egypt. And at the end of that story, Pharaoh's heart was hardened once again, and he still refused after all that God did to let his people go. And that's it. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Awesome job. Thank you so much. All right, Sister Glory Dean is next. She has Exodus 9, 18 through 14. I love the way you guys are flowing. Hallelujah.
I have eight, right? 8 through 14. Praise God. It talks about the plagues and everything, and how Pharaoh is hardening his heart. And it says that in this verse, Moses and Aaron, they were told to take handfuls of ashes out of the furnace and to sprinkle it toward heaven in sight of Pharaoh. God wanted Pharaoh to see that when they sprinkled that toward heaven, that was like going to let Pharaoh do it in front of Pharaoh to see that where all those plagues that God, the power of God, is coming from heaven. And that's why God told him to sprinkle it toward heaven. He wanted Pharaoh to see his power, the power of God. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say that then came the dust. The dust became small, and then the balls began to break out. He brought forth balls through the dust and everything. So praise God. And upon bringing the balls, as they say, and upon the service, upon the people and everyone, even upon the musicians. And they continue to sprinkle more, and all that was coming from heaven, praise God, is bringing forth balls of men and upon everybody, all up in Egypt. And the magicians that tried, they couldn't do anything because they got the balls on them. God was showing his power always. That's why everything was going toward heaven, sprinkling toward heaven. And the Lord, what happened? Pharaoh continued to do what? To harden his heart. But God continued to talk to Moses and to Aaron to continue what they're doing. And he said to Pharaoh, he said, let his people go. Let his people go so they can serve him. And he told him, get up early in the morning. He said, go get up early in the morning. And you tell Pharaoh, let my Hebrew people go so they can serve me. Praise God. So we thank God that even through all of that, we know that he'd continue to harden his heart. But this is where the plagues were coming from. God showing his power, praise God, continually to Pharaoh to know who he is. But at this time, he said he'd send plagues upon the hearts of all the people, and he's going to continue to bring it because Pharaoh is continually to harden his heart. Praise God.
All right. Thank you, Sister Glory Dean. Good job. Excellent. Now we have Sister Mary Nichols. She has Exodus 9, 15 through 21.
Okay. An interesting, exciting thing which displays God's power, because he actually tells Pharaoh that what he could have done. I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and all of the people with the plague that would have wiped you off the face of the earth. But because of God's mercy, and it was his purpose, it says, but I have raised you up for this very purpose, talking to the Pharaoh. So his power is displayed in God's purpose for Pharaoh. And this is all shown when God said that there would be the worst hailstorm that had ever fallen on Egypt from this day to the day it was founded. But because of God's mercy, he gave them a warning. He told Pharaoh to have everybody, all humans, brought in under shelter, all livestock to be brought in under shelter. He gave that merciful direction. But there are two kinds of people, evidently, that were in Egypt and also in the world, because in verse 20, it talks about the officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord, hurried to bring in their livestock and their slaves and all people. But the other kind of people, in verse 21, were the ones who ignored the word of the Lord, and they just left their slaves and livestock out in the field.
All right, thank you, Sister Mary. Great job. Thank God for you. Now we have Sister Marion from Jacksonville. She has Exodus 9:22-28.
Yes, in this verse, it starts out with the Lord telling Moses to stretch forth thy hand toward heaven. There will be let him know there's going to be hail in the land of Egypt upon all men, upon all the beasts, upon the herds of the land. All throughout Egypt, Moses stretched forth the rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire, and the fire ran along the grounds of Egypt. This was something that had never been seen in the land of Egypt, and the hail smote through all the land of Egypt in the field, both men and beasts, and the hail smote every herb of the field and break every tree of the branch. Only the land of Goshen was not affected with the hail, because that was where the Israelites were. And Pharaoh sent for Moses again, Moses and Aaron again, and he said unto him that he had sinned. And this time that the Lord is righteous and him and his people are wicked, would he entreat the Lord to be more mighty in his thunderings and hail and stop it, and he will let his people go? That was 22-28.
Thank you, Sister Mary. Good job. All right, now we have Sister Vivian. Exodus 9:29-35. Thank you.
Praise God. As soon as Moses had went out of the city, spread his hands unto the Lord. And Pharaoh would not admit that the earth is the Lord, neither mortal man. But God, Moses worshiped the Lord. And Moses knew that the repentance of Pharaoh was fake. So the flax and the barley harvest were lost because of this, which no doubt caused great hardships in Egypt because of Pharaoh's rebellion. And in verse 32, the wheat and the rye was not smitten. It was not smitten. So there So he said, the perilous two verses tell us that the entirety of the time of fame of the 10 plagues probably was about 3 to 4 months in duration. That's how long it lasted. And so Moses and Aaron evidently in some type of shelter over their head to protect them, had some kind of shelter over their head to protect them as they left the palace, or else the Lord withheld the hail and rain from wherever they went, which were well could have been in their case. So when Pharaoh saw the rain and the hail, he was in a bad state at that time. So they repent that the treat of judgment on the actually advent. But when it was lifted, they reigned in their promise. So anyway, the heart of Pharaoh's was hardened. Neither could he let the children go again. And in a few days, Moses was praying for individual, asking the Lord to warn them. He spoke to my heart, telling me, I am warning them constantly and in many and various ways, but they will not see or listen.
All right. Thank you, Sister Vivian. Appreciate you. Awesome work. You guys are doing an awesome job. Appreciate you. All right. We have Sister Lanny on with us from Mississippi, Jackson. Yes, Exodus 10, 1 through 5. Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 through 5.
Yes, ma'am. God sent Aaron and Moses back to Pharaoh again to compel them to let the children of Israel go. Once again, Pharaoh and his officials were stout-hearted and refused, in spite of the previous signs God sent to show that he indeed was God, most superior to everything that they knew about God. He was supreme. God also instructed Aaron and Moses to testify to their children and grandchildren how he admonished the Egyptians severely, and then perform his signs and wonders so they would know for sure that he was their God. He was the God of the children of Israel. I thought that was very interesting that he instructed them to, in the midst of doing what he was doing with Pharaoh, he was also encouraging the children of Israel. Aaron and Moses challenged Pharaoh with the question often heard in 2021 regarding racial and economic inequality. He asked, how long will you continue to refuse to humble yourself down to let my people go and worship me? How long? They said, now if you refuse again, the Lord, the God of the Hebrew, will bring locusts into your country tomorrow. There should have been no reason to doubt to Pharaoh that this was going to happen, but he still was stout-hearted. These are the events to follow. They will cover the ground. The locusts will cover the ground, and you won't be able to see the ground. That's significant. They would eat all the leaves, and you have left after the hail. All the leavings. They would eat all the leavings you have left after the hail. And finally, the locusts will eat every tree growing in all your fields. And of course, this is the locust. Assault of the locusts on Pharaoh and it's in the country. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We have Sister Audrey from Jacksonville, Florida. Exodus 10, 6 through 9.
Okay. And they shall fill your houses and the houses of all your servants, the houses of all which neither the father nor your son have seen since the day that upon the earth until this day and he turned himself and went. And Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord. And there, do you know, yet Jesus is destroyed. And Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they? And Moses said, we'll go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, and our flocks, with our hearts. So, for we must unto okay, to me, we know God is showing our line. God wants us to obey the Lord and stop doing our life that should not be unto God. They're doing their own mess, and God, we just want to come and show us the right way of living, and he wants us to thirst after his righteousness and be doer of the word, not only hearers. And that's what I got out of that.
All right. Thank you so much. Awesome. Did a good job. All right. Now we have Jasmine on. She's from Jacksonville, Florida. She is the sister of Brother Brian. She has Exodus 10, verses 10 through 17.
All right. Hello, everyone. Moses and Aaron were driven out from Pharaoh's presence with a lie, saying that he would let them go so that they could serve the Lord as they desired. The Lord commanded Moses to stretch out his hand over Egypt so that the locusts would come. The next morning, the east wind brought the locusts, and they covered the face of the whole earth, ate every herb and all the fruit of the trees left behind by the hail. Pharaoh quickly called for Moses and Aaron so that he could ask for forgiveness and for the locusts to be taken away from them. And that was Exodus 10, verses 10 through 17.
Thank you, Sister Jasmine. Awesome job. Thank God for you. All right, let's see. I don't know if we have Sister Esther on here. Esther, are you on? No, she's not on. Nope. We thank God for you, Sister Latricia Smith. We're glad you're on with us. Thank God for you. We're going to go ahead and skip Exodus 10, 18 through 21, unless somebody want to do that one. We have Sister Delana, Jacksonville, Florida, Exodus 10, 22 through 29.
Hello. I'm on the speaker, so is it breaking up, or can you hear me clearly?
Clearly.
Okay. So my scripture started off, I did some research on the gods, and it started off with Moses and the Nile and darkness. And so with the god of the Nile River, it was a little god called Hapi. And Moses, God had to prove himself who he was by letting them know that the Nile River wasn't as flourishing as they thought it was. And so it was helpless, as well as in there with the cattle. God had to show him that the god that they was bowing to, the god called Hathor, H-A-T-H-O-R, which was a cow goddess, that it was helpless, and that the true God was actually Jehovah God. So he had to prove himself to who he was. So when it came up in my summary about the sun and the darkness, the sun god was named A-N-W-A-H-A, and it was a sun goddess. And so God had to show him that even though you pray to that sun goddess, I'm the God of light. And so when you pray for your son to come, darkness going to come because I'm the true God. The rest of those little gods that you're worshiping is nothing. So Jehovah had to show himself. So then God had to harden Pharaoh's heart again, because after all of that and Pharaoh seeing that his little God didn't mean as much as the true God, he got upset and told Moses, you go ahead and go, but you leave your cattle. And Moses was like, no, I can't leave my cattle because I got to go and worship God, and I don't know what sacrifice or what offering he going to ask for. So, no, they got to come with us. So Pharaoh got upset about that and told him, go ahead and go. And my summary ends when Moses said, well, before that, Pharaoh told him, you go ahead and go, and I don't want to see your face anymore. If I see you again, you're dead. And Moses said, okay, have it your way. And that's when my summary ends.
All right. Everybody did an awesome job. Give yourselves a big hug. I am so proud of you all. Awesome. Thank you, Sister Talana. You ended chapter 10 for us. So next week, of course, you know, our homework, we're going to be on chapters 11 and 12 of Exodus. So don't forget to study chapters 11 and 12 next week. So you can start reading it today if you like. That's going to be for next week. Exodus, I'm writing it down for myself as well. Chapters 11 and 12. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love the way, you know, God moves through his word. So our topic for this afternoon is don't resist, be persistent and consistent in the things of God. Don't resist, be persistent and consistent in the things of God. Exodus 9 through 10. So, you know, we got to obey God even if we don't understand. You know, sometimes God will say something to you and you go like, something told me do this or do that, but it's not something. It's either the devil or God. So God says his people know his voice, and another voice he will not answer. They will not answer. So we got to know God's voice, and we got to obey. Even if we don't understand it, we still have to do it. So, you know, Pharaoh didn't understand. He didn't even know who God was. So we got to obey God, even if it don't make sense what he wants us to do. It may not make sense to you, but God has a plan. Moses resisted God, but also Pharaoh resisted God. Pharaoh didn't know who God was. He didn't know the power that God had. He refused because he was used to being a god himself. He was a small god. But, of course, you know, he was no match to the Most High, the powerful God. So, you know, he was used to doing things his way. He was arrogant, disrespectful. So God sent Moses to represent him. And Pharaoh was a ruler and a leader of Israel. He was over people. But he enslaved people. And God doesn't want anybody enslaved. He don't even enslave them. He treated them with harshness, cruelty, and disrespect. You ever seen somebody have no regard for another human being? They treat them like dirt. All humans were created by God, the creator of all. God said everything he made was good. That includes us and every human being. He made every human being. Pharaoh treated people, especially those who were not of his nationality, harsh, mean, and inhumane. So we could say he was prejudiced. Regardless of your level of understanding or what God asked you to do, you got to be persistent, move forward, and obey God. He knows the end of the situation from the beginning. Resist means to struggle against somebody. Persist means to continue firmly or obstinately in an opinion or a course of action in spite of the difficulty or opposition or failure. Continue to exist, be prolonged. what can we learn from Pharaoh? Now, we can learn from Pharaoh, you know. We can learn from anybody. So here's some things that we're going to learn from Pharaoh. From Pharaoh, we can learn to be obedient to God. Even when we don't understand who God is, what he wants, we got to be obedient to God. We cannot, even though we may not understand, we still got to obey. Sometimes, you know, God's ways don't always, we don't always understand because his thoughts are higher than ours. We're thinking on an earthly realm. He thinks on a godly realm, and that realm is much, much higher. So from Pharaoh, we can learn to be humble. We can be wise. We can be flexible. Pharaoh was very inflexible. When he faced that, he wasn't going to change it. He didn't move. What can we learn from Moses, God's servant? Do not make excuses to God about what we can and cannot do. You know how Moses was saying, Lord, I can't speak. In other words, he thought he was inferior. But what he didn't realize was that God was going to do everything through him. He didn't have to do it. All he had to do was be a willing vessel. And that's the same thing for us. We got to be a willing vessel for God. When God tells us to go somewhere and do something, we don't have to. We got to obey him. Just surrender, and he'll do it through us. It may seem difficult, but, you know, we got to learn like Moses. Moses was a very, very patient person. Oh, my God. Look how many times he had to go to Pharaoh. He was patient with him. You know, he was consistent. Every time God told him to go, he went. Now, that wasn't the only job that Moses had. You know, he had other jobs to deal with the people that he was with. And some of them was moaning and complaining. Moaning and groaning. So, you know, you have to be discerning, be prayerful, be tenacious, persistent. Don't give up. Be credible, able to be believed, convincing. So Moses had to be credible. He had to convince King Pharaoh of what God said. But God was using him. God worked through him. He didn't have to go it alone. Did you ever think about why God uses numbers in the Bible? For instance, in Genesis 1, God created day one. And on that day, he created specific things. Notice, God added to each day of creation. He never subtracted. God is perfect. He is the essence of perfection. He has never made a mistake, and he never will. Now, human beings make mistakes. You know, Moses made a lot of mistakes. God's people made a lot of mistakes, but God is perfect. On the other hand, we humans, even though we're made in God's image, we make mistakes. But thank God, he's a forgiving God. He knows we're going to make mistakes because we're not God. We are like God, but we are not God. Pharaoh was a little god, and he made 10 major mistakes that brought tragedy on him and put the people, you know, in harm's way. He was king over the Egyptians. Moses knew he wasn't perfect, but he soon learned that the power of God through him, through his obedience to follow God's instructions, was going to do a mighty work for his people. So Pharaoh made 10 mistakes that caused 10 plagues to come on him and the Egyptians. Can you imagine now? You're responsible for a lot of people. He was responsible for a lot of people, but because of his ignorance, he allowed people to go through so much. When Moses went to Pharaoh, Pharaoh refused to listen and obey God. Through Moses, and he continued the same attitude 9 more times. when Moses went to tell him, thus saith the Lord. Each time, God gave Pharaoh a chance to listen and obey. Obey his instructions. And because God knew Pharaoh so well, he hardened his heart. So he hardened his heart because he knew he wasn't going to do it, but he hardened his heart so that when he did let the people go, he was trying to hurry up and get rid of them. Y'all get up out of here. You know, you read the verses in, you read the chapter 8. We started in chapter 1 of Exodus, and now we're in 9 and 10, getting ready to go to 11 and 12. So just pay attention when you're reading. So God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So he was going to let the people go. Now, you know God knows the perfect time. Now, you know Moses didn't know when. And, you know, can you imagine Moses probably got tired of going. But he knew to obey God was the important thing because he wanted his people free, the Hebrew people free. So after the 10th plague, Pharaoh told them, people, get out of here. Yeah, get out of here. Pharaoh resisted God, and Moses was persistent in doing what God told him to do. Just as stubborn as Pharaoh was, Moses was just that persistent. He kept doing what God told him to do. God said, get up, go to Pharaoh again. He did what God told him every time because he knew it was most important. Now, look, that's not just important for Pharaoh, for Moses. It's important for us, too. Go do what God tell you to do. Sometimes you say, something told me to go do. No, no, no. If it wasn't the devil, like I told you, it's God. Moses realized the power of God. And at first he was reluctant to obey God with many, many excuses. We say, God, well, my right toe hurt. We say, well, God, you know, it's raining outside. Whatever it is, he knows it already. He just is patient. God is so patient. He listened to us making, you know, all these excuses. A condition of humans is sometimes to make excuses. We're sometimes reluctant to obey God. We don't feel worthy of doing the assignment God has given us. God is so awesome. Who can say no to the all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty God? Nobody can say it. Now, you know, Jonah tried to say no to God. He agreed with his word, but in his actions, he didn't go do what God told him to do. He went to another place. God said, go to Nineveh. You think he listened? You know, like some of us. We say, okay, and we do something else. Well, that's how, you know, human beings are. When I think about the vastness of God, I stand in awe. Because I'm telling you, we serve the Almighty. Nothing is impossible to him. So when he gives you an assignment to do, make sure you do it. You don't have to do it on your own in your own strength. God's going to do it through you. All you got to do is be a willing vessel and surrender. Many people today are stubborn like Pharaoh. They refuse to obey God. Like Pharaoh, they do not know God, never heard of him. I was in Family Dollar the other day, and I was at the cash register, and I asked this young man what his name was, and I said, are you saved? He said, I don't believe in that. I said, what do you mean? He said, you don't believe in God? Well, I believe in a higher power, he told me. Now, you know that I had to repent because we've allowed this generation to go without being taught. They have not been taught that God is, he's all powerful. He ain't no higher power. He's all powerful. Now, I didn't know a man behind me was listening. And I had this conversation with this young man. I said, well, what does a higher power do for you? Well, I said, well, do you pray to a higher power? Well, I kind of just meditate. I said, what you do when you meditate? Oh, I don't do too much. And a man behind me said, that's okay, ma'am. When you finish, I got next. I'm going to give him my testimony. So well, sometimes we just got to obey God. Now, I didn't know I was going there to talk to that young man. I thought I was just going there to buy something I had to buy. So we cannot resist what God tells us to do. Many people resist it. They go like, God be telling them, listen, pray for your neighbors. And we, you know, pray for the president. Pray for the legislation. Pray for the schools today. You know, the schools in your city, the schools in the nation, pray. Pray for the elderly. We just ignore God. We continue looking at TV or eating our lunch or, you know, whatever it is, going shop, whatever it is. But let me tell you something. God knows how to shut everything down. So we got to obey God. You know, people resist when God tells us, you know, listen here, on your job, you know that lady? I want you to talk to that lady right there about me. She already know you believe in me, but I want you to talk to her. What do we do? Oh, God, I would say, but I don't even know the right words, Lord. Don't you know when you open your mouth, he going to speak through you? So don't resist God. Many people refuse to do what God wants them to do because they're scared. Fear get in the way. That's how Moses was. Fear got in the way. A lot of people are blinded to the truth. So we got to tell them. Saul, who was later Apostle Paul, he murdered God's people on the road to, you know, and God gave him a Damascus road experience. So many of us are like him. We murder God's people with our mouth. We ain't trying to kill them with a gun because we know we're going to prison. But we do it with our mouth. Girl, did you see her? Did you see him? They ain't this here and they ain't that there. We think we all that. But don't you know God will put us in our place? We ourselves must get closer to God, our Father, so we can discern the time. Let me tell you, we got to discern the times. We must know what is going to happen. And by being dependent on God, I'm not talking about the news on the TV. You could turn that TV on 24/7, but that don't mean you have discernment. You can listen to human beings, but discernment comes from God. We must seek God for discernment so we can know what's going on around us, what's about to happen. If you don't know, discernment is one of the most valuable, most important godly things that you can have. We need godly discernment to be able to move forward in things when things happen. Now, if you don't do it, you'll fall into Satan's trap. Discernment will help us distinguish the truth from a lie and exaggeration from reality. Now, you on the news, you know, on the news, they exaggerate a lot. They're always hyping up everything. Oh, yeah, it was an accident over there in such and such a street. Oh, you know, so-and-so, 10 people got shot. You know, they exaggerate. They're trying to hype you up and make fear come. Fear. They want you to be in fear. But God says, fear not, for I have overcome the world. He don't want us to fear. Discernment is the ability to judge well. It's the perception that we have from God to obtain spiritual direction and understanding. So discernment is going to help us get through coronavirus and everything else that's coming. It's going to help us. It's going to. When the false gods come, that discernment is going to help us know, that is not God right there. You can hear a preacher, and you go like, wow, he was preaching up a storm. Well, guess what? That don't mean he was preaching God's word because he was preaching up a storm. You got to have discernment to know when you're being deceived. Matthew 24:24 says, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive who, if it were possible, even the elect. That's us, the chosen people. So we can be deceived if you don't have that discernment. You got to know the word. It's got to be written on the tables of your heart, and you got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit say, don't leave your house today, I bet you better stay in there. When the Holy Spirit say, I want you to shut the phone down today, don't talk to nobody, I want to talk to you, you better move and do what he said. Better be obedient. So you got to know we are God's very elect, but we can be deceived if we don't spend enough time with God. We got to stay close to God like Moses, who consulted God often for the next step. So we got to ask God, what's the next step, Lord? What you want me to do next, Father? We need guidance and direction and discernment. I'm going to say it again. We need guidance, we need direction, and discernment. Every day we need it. TV news can put fear in us, but God's news through the study of his word, through prayer, and through listening and obeying him is what we need. We got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give us an unction, and we ignore it. We cannot ignore it. It's something on the inside of us that God put there, his spirit. And he'll have us to do something, and we go like, what was that? You ignore it. God's spirit. God is all wise, all knowing. I was thinking about numbers in the Bible. I'm talking about like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, those kind of numbers, not the book of numbers, but numbers. And I thought about the meaning of each number in creation. Day one, day two, and so forth, and the significance of each day and how they correspond to each day, the numbers. Then I thought about the 10 plagues and each numbered day and why a particular plague was sent on that particular day. Because let me tell you something, God don't just do nothing haphazardly. He has a plan way before creation, and he already knew what day he was going to create the sun, the moon, the stars, and all those things. Suppose he had created you, human beings, the first day. We would have been in sheer utter darkness. We wouldn't even had food to eat. We wouldn't have had probably air to breathe or anything. So God knew what day he was going to send the plague to Pharaoh before Moses knew, before the foundations of the earth. So plague number one of the Bible was the plague of blood. One means unity, oneness, the Godhead. God had to let Pharaoh know he was and always has been. Blood symbolizes life. It serves as sacred, served in rituals. So blood can mean life or death. Now, day two of the plague means union. Number two in the Bible means union, division, or verification of facts by witnesses. God sent Moses and Aaron to witness about him and what he would do if Pharaoh wouldn't let his people go. So God sent frogs as plague number two. That was, you know, the second time. So frogs represent the spirit of uncleanness. I mean, this was an awesome study for me, y'all. I just was like, wow. So, you know, I don't know how to study like this. God led me by his spirit. He gave me and he put these numbers in me. So number three in the Bible means completeness, resurrection. So the third plague, this is the third time Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh to say, God said, let my people go. Gnats was the third plague. Now, what do gnats represent? Gnats, life, the significance of life, it's evil, foul, loathsome, infestation by evil, and the significance by their biting. You know, I don't know about you, but I mean, it hurt when a gnat bites. They do bite. All right, so number four in the Bible means creation. On the fourth day of creation, God brought into existence the sun, the moon, and the stars. The fourth plague was flies. Flies symbolizes filth. It was a sign of God's wrath. The gnats indicate uncleanness and also demean the stature of its victim. Nobody wants to be around filth. All right, so number five, we're almost finished, you guys. Number five in the Bible means God's grace. plague number 5 is death of the livestock, represents in the Bible. Once again, a fifth time, Moses go to plead with Pharaoh. And he said, God said, let my people go. So, you know, sometimes God got to make us be a believer. You know, Pharaoh didn't believe him. Okay. So he took it lightly, what God was saying. So number 6 in the Bible symbolizes man and human weakness, the evils of Satan, and the manifestation of sin. Man was created on the 6th day. Now, man meaning man and woman. So man is represented on the 6th day. Plague was boils and ulcers, sores all over their body. The beast had sores, all of them. Boils was judgment against several false gods over the health and disease. Pharaoh, you know, he would not obey God. So God hardened his heart and sent all of these things. So number 7 means foundation of God, word, completion, and perfection. Hail was the 7th plague. The spiritual meaning of hail is falsity from evil, destroying the truth of God, faith, truth and good of faith. Thus, the things of the church. Hail is the masses of ice, frozen, vapor, falling from the cloud in a shower of storm. Number 8 means new beginning, new order. Plague 8 was locust. Plague was designed by God to show his power and that the people, Pharaoh, would know that he was God. The invasion of locusts is death, is a death sentence for the people of Egypt. The locusts destroyed all their crops. And when your crops are destroyed, you're going to be hungry because you don't have no food. It was a famine. Number 9 symbolizes divine completeness, finality. Plague number 9 was darkness, aimed at the sun god, which rules the darkness. Number 10, number 10 means complete. 10 signifies testimony, law, responsibility, and completeness. The 10th plague was death of the firstborn. Judgment of false gods. The false gods was Isis. That's the one that protect children. Their god. Isis is not our god. It's their god. False god. So he could not protect the children. Remember when Pharaoh's magicians, they told him, we can't do anything with this plague. He said, God, it's God. But Pharaoh didn't want to hear it. So they had the death of the firstborn, God's righteousness and judgment on those who hurt his son, Israel, and his redemptive protection, his son Israel. Now, 2 Chronicles 7 says, Then the Lord appeared to him at night. He said to Solomon, I heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for the sacrifice. I may shut up the sky so there's no rain or command grasshoppers to devour the countryside or to send an epidemic among my people. However, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek, search for me, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear their prayer from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their country, which is the land. 15, my eyes will be open, and my ears will pay attention to those prayers in the in this place. So let's begin to repent, before Lord. Lord, we repent for having a spirit of Pharaoh, being stubborn, arrogant, insolent. We repent, Lord God, of the ignorance, being ignorant of you, ignorant of your ways. Pharaoh did not know God nor his ways, nor did he want to know God. We got young people today, they don't know God, and they don't want to know him because they're ignorant. God said, I went to ignorance one time, but now I'm calling people everywhere to repent. So, you know, Pharaoh had no knowledge of who God was, but Moses went to introduce him to the Almighty God. Do you know God, or do you just know about God? Do you have a true relationship? I'm asking everybody on the radio. Do you know God, or you just know about him? Do you have a true relationship with our Creator? Do we serve our family's God, our pastor's God, our neighbor's God, or do we serve the true God? Do we have a relationship with him? Do we spend time with him? Do we talk to him? But even more than talking to him, do we listen to him? You know, a lot of times we're just going, Lord, have mercy on me, Jesus. Lord, I just praise you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I thank you for the rain stopping. Lord, but how often do we stop and listen to him? He wants us to listen to him, not just talk. That's why he gave us one mouth, so we can listen. So we got to listen to God, have a personal relationship with him. You know, when you're with your friend, you ain't going to just be doing all the talking. I don't think. Sometimes I'm guilty of it. I'm like, da-da-da-da-da-da, just be talking. But then I say, oh, my God, I didn't give him a chance to talk. I got to listen. So that's what we got to do. Having a personal relationship with God requires total obedience. Moses, at first, when he came upon God through the burning bush, he didn't have a relationship with God, nor was he obedient to God. He made excuses about what God had birthed him to create, what God had birthed him to do. He didn't want to hear what God had to say. What you mean I got to go to Pharaoh? He lived in the palace with Pharaoh. Pharaoh was Moses's, you know, mother, not birth mother, but, you know, she raised Moses in the palace. So he knew the power of Pharaoh, and of course he was scared. But, you know, we can know the power of the police. We can know the power of the president. We can know the power of the legislation, the Congress, the judges. But guess whose power is greater? God. So we can't have an excuse. What's your excuse? Are you ready to obey God in all things? Each time Moses went before God, you know, God, his presence changed. Every time you go before God, every time you sit and listen to God, you meditate on the word, read the word, don't you know you're changing from the inside out? God's light got brighter and brighter in Moses, and his spiritual strength was greater. You might ask yourself, what does this have to do with me? The answer is everything. When you want a closer relationship with God, you know, some people say, oh, I want to close, but they don't want to do what it takes. It takes work. It takes training. The Most High is the one who trains you when you submit to him. It will not come because you prayed. A closer relationship ain't going to come just because you prayed. No. It requires prayer, total submission, total obedience. It requires us to die to ourselves. And what is dying to yourself? Okay, I'm going to read you something. This is dying to yourself. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely not, set at naught, you don't even hurt or sting. When someone insults you or overlook you, but your heart is heavy, being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that's dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but you take it all in patient, loving silence. That's dying to self. Are you there yet? when you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, or any arrogance, when you can stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured, that's dying to self. When you are content with any food, offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any solitude, any interruption by the will of God, that's dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own work or itch after commendation, when you can truly love to be unknown, that's dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met, and you can honestly rejoice with him in the spirit, and you feel no envy nor question God, while your own needs are far greater and desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you receive correction and reproof from one that is of less stature than yourself, and you can humbly submit inwardly, finding no rebellion nor resentment within your heart, that is dying to yourself. Are you dead yet? In these last days, the Spirit will bring us to the cross that we might know him, being made conformable to his death. So that's dying to self. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to open up the line so we can talk. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't died to myself. In most of those areas, I'm still saying, Lord, I need help. We can't die to ourselves by ourselves. We need help. So I'm going to read this prayer over us, breaking curses and releasing the blessings of God. I don't know about you, but I need every curse broken off of me from the time I was born to now, every curse. It says, I am redeemed from the curse through the blood of Jesus. I am the seed of Abraham. And his blessing is mine. I choose blessing instead of curses and life instead of death. I break and release myself from all generational curses and iniquity as a result of the sins of my ancestors in the name of Jesus. I break and release myself from all curses on both sides of my family back 60 generations. I break and release, I break all curses of witchcraft, sorcery, divination. In the name of Jesus, I break and release myself from all curses of pride and rebellion. In the name of Jesus, I break and release myself from all curses of death and destruction. In the name of Jesus, I break and rebuke all curses of sickness and infirmity. In the name of Jesus, I break and release myself from all curses of poverty, lack, and debt. In the name of Jesus, I break and release myself from all curses of rejection. In the name of Jesus, I break and release myself from all curses of double-mindedness and schizophrenia in the name of Jesus. I break and release myself from all curses of Jezebel and Ahab in the name of Jesus. I break and release myself from all curses of divorce and separation in the name of Jesus. I break and release myself from all curses of lust and perversion in the name of Jesus. I break and release myself from all curses of idolatry. In the name of Jesus, I break and release myself from all curses of causing accidents and premature death. In the name of Jesus, I break and release myself from all curses of wandering and vagabond. In the name of Jesus, I break and release myself from all spoken curses and negative words spoken against me by others and those in authority, and I bless them. I break and release myself from all inflicted curses by negative words I have spoken in the name of Jesus. I command every demon hiding and operating behind a curse to come out in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to unmute the line so we can respond to the lesson, you know, as God leads you to speak. And if he leads you to say anything, I'm unmuting the lines now. You're welcome to speak. I thank God for you all coming on because you know what? I don't know what to teach you. I'm serious. I don't know what to teach. But I have to go before God and say, Lord, what would you have me to teach on Wednesday? What would you have me to teach, you know, to each person whenever I teach, even to the children. I work with the children. I don't know what to teach. I don't know what to tell you. So the lines are open. Anybody want to respond to the message? Anybody, you know, have anything they want to say?
Yes.
Just
I do.
And say it.
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
I would like to say that.
Okay, hold on one second. Go ahead, Sister Carla. Go ahead.
Declare it more in my own personal life. I thought that was very powerful, what you shared at the end. And there's other things I heard, but I got on a little bit later, but I'm so glad that I got to get on today to hear the word and the message of what we can learn from people in the Bible, Moses. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Sister Carla. Now, was that you, Sister Miriam, the next person? Go ahead.
Sister Vivian. I thank you for that word today. It was a great word. I do break those curses over me every morning when I do in my prayer time. So it was a great message. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Next.
Yes. Thank you, Sister G. I appreciate all that you said this morning, and as usual, I'd like to have a copy of those breaking curses.
All right. Next, state your name. Don't forget to state your name.
Oh,
hi, Sister
G.
Solana.
Okay, go ahead, Solana.
I wanted to say I enjoyed the summary as well. The review, rather, but I really, really got a lot out of the dying to self portion. It was very powerful as well.
Amen. Next. Anybody else?
Gloria
Dean.
Gloria Dean. You talked about Pharaoh in the beginning. Of all the resistance, and all of us are like, can be like pharaohs, used to be like pharaohs, resistance and disobedience, but we thank God that we are coming out of like God with obedience now, as Moses had with God. So it's a difference. We have to really know about all of that. You talked about resistance and writing it down, and really knowing about it, learning about resistance. We got to come to the point where we cannot resist, just, you know, get away, resist God's word. We got to take it in existence and use it. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else?
I have something else.
Well, I thank God. Go ahead, Sister Carla.
The scripture that comes to my mind is Isaiah 18 and 19. Come now, this season, says the Lord. So your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Those shall be red like crimson, they shall be like snow. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat good of the land. But if you resist and resist, you'll have a destruction of the Lord. For the mouth of the Lord is spoken. So we walk in not resisting God, but submission to God, and die to ourselves. Thank you for your message. For us to live Christ-like and crucify our flesh.
Amen. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate you. Anyone else? And we're going to be praying.
Sister G, this is Talana again. I also thought it was interesting how, you know, I used to question when I was younger listening about the plagues and why it happened, but I wanted to look it up, and I had heard it from somewhere, but it's just awesome how Jehovah just proved himself by hardening Pharaoh's heart to show him that those idol gods, you may be worshiping them, and they may have power, but I'm the real power. And he just showed himself mighty to just proving himself through all those little, you know, different gods, the sun god, the river god, the this god, the that god. And those things still happen today. But Jehovah proves himself that all power is subjected under my power.
And that just really just, I got a shout out off of that.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Solana, could you pray for the babies now? Someone called me this past week, and they were telling me about a little baby, and they asked me to pray for the baby. He was very sick, and so much. But anyway, the baby passed away, I heard, a couple of days ago. And so I'm going to ask you to pray for the baby's family, baby Matthew. They live here in Jacksonville somewhere. But also pray for the family constellation, however God leads you. But thank God for baby Chloe, baby Zoe, baby Kaiser, baby Revere. I want you to know sometimes baby Chloe's mother, she sends me videos of pictures. So the other day she sent me a video of baby Chloe. She was running. When I tell you she was running, you know, we started praying for her. She was about 5 months old, and now she is about a year and a half. And she can run. When I tell you she can run. But we thank God for hearing you pray. All right, Solana.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now to lift up the family of little Matthew, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that his name was not named Matthew for a reason. There is something about the significance of names. So, God, we thank you that as he is a forerunner in that family, Lord God, that he has, you have allowed his life to be positioned with you, that you love him so, Lord God, that you allowed him to come to you, Father. So, as the family is grieving, Lord, we pray that they don't grieve longer than they should. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that life will be even more abundant as Matthew has set the pace in that family even the more. We thank you, Lord God, for even allowing them to experience life through Matthew, Lord God. And, Lord God, knowing that even though they may be grieving, but knowing, Lord God, that their little baby don't have to go through some of the things that are going on in this wicked, in this world with people operating out of forms of darkness and wickedness. So, God, I thank you, Lord God, for the joy that you would give them, knowing that the joy of the Lord will be their strength. I thank you, Lord God, for even, Lord God, positioning them in a posture, Lord God, of thanksgiving, that, Lord God, you will remind them in their heads and in their minds and in their hearts to be thankful for all things. Lord God, it's sometimes not easy as we humans would see it to be thankful over certain things. But Father, your word tells us to be thankful in everything. So God, we're thankful that you gave them life. We're thankful, Lord God, that you allowed them to experience, Lord God, the birth of a baby. We're thankful, Lord God, that they even have the funds, Lord God, to put them away gracefully in the name of Jesus. We're thankful, Lord God, that you're healing her body, that you're healing her heart. We're thankful, Lord God, and for everything that you're doing in their life through this life of this baby. And Father, let it not be too much for them to bear as I speak your word over their lives, that you wouldn't put any more on them than they can bear. So let them realize that and recognize it even the more in their hearts, in their minds, as they come together as one. In Jesus' name, I do pray and request this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. So we're getting ready to close out, but I'm going to ask Sister Lainey if she would say a prayer for everyone on the line and then close this out. If you don't mind, make it kind of brief. I appreciate it, Sister Lainey.
Sister Carita, this is Gloria Dean. I should have said it in the beginning, and is praying for the babies. I lost a great grandbaby yesterday. Lit in Georgia. Had a grandson in Georgia. He lost his baby yesterday, 16 months old. Died in his sleep. So that happened yesterday. His name was Amon. A-M-A-N was his name, Amon.
Good Sister Solana, can you pray for that family as well that lost their baby? That was Sister Gloria Jean's great, she said great grandbaby.
Yeah, that was my grandson's baby.
Okay.
Did you say Solana?
Yes.
Okay, so Father, in the name of Jesus, the same prayer that I prayed in reference to little Matthew, God, I thank you for the spirit of comfort. I ask, Lord God, that those words that I shared concerning Matthew will fall into the family of Sister Gloria Dean, and that, God, the spirit of comfort will be her portion. Lord God, that every garment of heaviness, Lord God, is replaced with the garment of praise in the name of Jesus, and that, God, you would cover her wholeheartedly and her family from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Remind them of your word and your standards. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
And Patricia Royal is asking prayer for the family of Evangelist Mary Cherry in North Carolina, who passed
away. Okay, can you pray for her? Sister Mary, yes. Can you pray for her and that request?
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come to you with these things. And we just ask for comfort for Patricia and the family of Evangelist Mary Cherry, who was Patricia's friend. So we just thank you, Lord, for the life of Mary Cherry as an evangelist and the people whose lives she touched. But, Lord, we just ask for continued comfort and peace for her family and her friend Patricia. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else before we close up? Okay, Sister Lane, if you could pray for all of us that are on here and however God needs you.
Amen. Praise God. God, in the name of Jesus, we are so thankful that you're our Father. We find so much comfort in just knowing that we can come to you anytime. Your presence will always strengthen us. Thank you for your strength right now. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your love and your care. Thank you for just being the God that you are. Hallelujah. God, that where there is no lack in you, there's no loss, there's no less, and there's no least, because you put it all, fill it all things. You are rich, and you're full and complete. So we honor you, Lord, and we thank you for all the women. Lift up Sister G and her heart for having the vision to call us together, that we can have these times, that we can be empowered by your word, be strengthened by your prayers, and be encouraged by your music ministry. We thank you for every aspect of this service, every aspect of this ministry work. We ask, God, in Jesus' name, that you know the things that we need greater than we know. You know before we ask. You already know what we need. So, God, we thank you for the grace of that. We thank you for the compassion of that. We thank you for the mercy of that. Glory to God. We ask, God, that you'll bless everyone on this line, all our families and extensions, things that concern us. You said in your word, Psalms 138, that you'll perfect that which concerns us. God, we lay all of our concerns at the foot of the empty cross, and we rely on you, Father, to take us to the next level of whatever we need to do, whatever we need to do, however we need to rest, however we need to go, whatever we need to just know who we be and knowing who we be before we do what we do. We so love you, and we so thank you. It is in the name of Jesus we pray, and thank you for all things. Hallelujah. You said you'd given us all things, protecting the life and godliness. And so we're already rich, and we're already blessed, and we already have all that we need. Just show us, Father. Guide us. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you, Father, for your grace for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And we cancel every assignment of the enemy that have tried to take us away from you and try to assault us or hinder the blessings that you have said belong to us, God. We receive from the top of our heads to the sole of our feet, from the inside out, God, our hearts and our hands stretch out to you. We receive everything you desire that we experience with you. Thank you for victory in all things. So now we plead the blood of Jesus, and we thank you that we're covered by the life blood of Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I love each of you. God loves you more. Have a God-filled day, God-filled week, God-filled month, God-filled year. Don't forget, praise the Lord. Listen to the Father. Take time to listen. Take time to listen. I know we pray, but take time to listen to him as well. Talk to you all very soon. Love you. Goodbye.
Time.
Absolutely.